I got a bee sting on my hand about an hour ago. It's kind of weird.
Serious?
Yeah. Can you still get me itching my head though? Like, is it gonna pick it up?
I don't think it's gonna pick it up.
Discussion night. Awkwardly, this might come as like a reminder that you're like, oh, but we are hopefully gonna have some homework, right? That we did. Because this kind of is piggybacking off of the last discussion. So in review, for September, what we had done for the weeks leading up to it was we really wanted to look at like things that were either like just really difficult to digest or chew on, or things that were too good to be true. Just like stuff that we wanted to wrestle through and then hopefully come and say like, oh man, like I realized this was a problem and this is what I did to like discover the truth about that and like to combat that or whatever. And we said like, let's share those things. And we did, but we also said we didn't really have a lot of time to get to the ones that were like, and I'm still stuck. So we want to talk about the sticky issues, because as like vulnerable as we may need to be to do that, or as awkward as it might be to be like, look, I'm just struggling with this, and like admit those things, like that's how we grow, and we want to be like, right, we belong to each other. We say these things and we mean it. And so yeah, if we can help each other with that, and you know, everyone struggles with different things differently, and so if it's like, oh man, I worked through that in this way, it really helped me, and like here's some advice, or yeah, I'm working through that too right now, but here's what I've thought of. Like, oh, I didn't think of that. So just kind of we wanna open up space for that.
And just as a reminder, we are talking specifically about issues relating to the Holy Spirit and what it looks like to live. So this is like, you may be dealing with like, why is there suffering in the world? That's a good question, but probably not for tonight's conversation, right? I don't know if you...
I didn't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about that. Just a reminder. Like, I know sometimes something sparks something else and you're like, oh, what about this? And we're going to try to keep it relating to, you know, living in the reality of the Holy Spirit.
And all that to say, if there are other things that we have worked through, I mean, regarding the Holy Spirit even, like, just since last time...
Yeah.
It's not only about the stuff we're still stuck on. If it's just like, man, I was still struggling with this, but this is some stuff I realized over last month. Like, that's top-notch, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray. Jesus, we thank you that we can just be in your presence and tackle this stuff in the presence of each other as well. And we just thank you that you you use us. It's not a like a one-person show. And just like my struggle and you. It's like our struggle together, and we can figure out stuff and grow in you and really come to live in the reality of your Holy Spirit is guiding us and working in us, and we can interact with you and do things through the power that you have put in us. And so just help us. Help us to just understand that. Help us to even be aware of where we have these questions and roadblocks and stuff in the way. So, we just ask your blessing on this night. We thank you that you are here and you speak to us. And yeah, just give this conversation time to you. In your name, amen.
So,
now what?
Oh, I had kind of an encouraging moment, so if somebody doesn't have anything to start with, I'll share that. A realization of how I was thinking without realizing it. Sorry.
We're waiting on you.
Alright, I'll go for it. So the passage I was reading in Matthew 10, and it's about persecution, and like, you know, if you're brought before councils, don't worry, because you'll be given what to say, right? It's that passage. So the context isn't about this kind of stuff in particular, but what struck me was how Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit. It says, whenever they hand you over for trial, do not worry about how to speak or what to say, for what you should say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And I feel like it just hit me, like, that's not, we don't usually see the Spirit referred to as like, because they're not talking directly to people all that often, you know, in these stories. And it hit me like the spirit of my father. And I realized in that, as I read that, how much I'm often still having this kind of subconscious framework of like having to figure out what I need to do or operate in order to like figure out this mysterious Holy Spirit and like, you know, what, how is this working? What do I do? Like, I gotta do it this way, whatever, you know? And then I was, why am I, this is the spirit of my father. Like, this isn't some foreign, distant, like, weird
separate
force.
Entity kind of thing.
Like, some force I have to figure out how to, like, what do I do? It's like, this is the spirit of my father. Like, that's close, and that's understanding, and like, I know the character of my father,
right.
And this is the spirit of my father, you know? And it just made me realize how often when I'm like praying about healing in particular, I still have this like, I gotta like figure out something or like whatever, you know? And if I think, oh, I know my father, I know his goodness, okay, be healed, you know? Like, I still haven't seen any more things happen, but I think that it's a significant shift, because I actually haven't remembered to remember that as I'm praying about stuff. But I think it's not foreign. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, isn't some foreign, mysterious thing. He's mysterious, but not in like that way, you know.
I have a thought question, if no one else does.
Yeah.
Have I allowed enough like awkward silence before?
This will be 9 seconds. That's cool.
Nine.
It's too long. It's too long. Say something.
Quick, quick. Panic! Panic!
Distraction. bouncing off what you're saying, Mom. I think that, and I don't think I have. I mean, I don't have any concrete idea on this, but I think that there's just two different ways of looking at it, and I'm wondering kind of what leads to maybe more, how that might impact our actions. So thinking of, I think that we can kind of conceive of, like you're saying, the Holy Spirit being this separate other thing that comes on us or channels through us kind of thing. Like that's one kind of mental construct of how we see the Holy Spirit. But then there's a lot of scripture, and I think a lot can be said about being image bearers, and that the Spirit is in us, infused in us, and then there's this other way of looking at it might be more like whether we just inhibit, like the Spirit's all there, completely there, infused in us in some sort of metaphysical way, and but we can acknowledge and work with, or just sort of obstruct. And I'm wondering, I mean, I suppose there's scripture that probably lead us to thinking those two different ways, but wondering if the outcomes of thinking those different ways can lead to, and maybe have led to, different ways of acting that might be more or less common-like. Whereas, if we think of it as this separate thing, then I feel like there's a lot of, even songs, denomination stuff around, we need to do things to call the Spirit down. This other thing that we need to like call or access or invite. Whereas I feel like the other way of thinking is like, no, there's already-ness. Does that impact our, this is for anyone to, you know, does that impact our being or how we actually, what the word exactly would be, how we are thinking on that, does it impact our actions and how we treat being, working with the Spirit? It's something that's already fused really within us, and that's as we have full access to, and is there, is a part of us.
I think it's a little bit of both ends. I think that's been a huge, one of the huge paradigm shifts that we've been going through the last year. Like, wait, what? How do we interact with the Holy Spirit? Of like realizing, like, yeah, like you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. It's here, right? It's like you have it, and but I still think it's no less mysterious of like, but how, what does that mean? How does that come out of me? Or do I work in tandem with that? Or, I think it's still the spirit of my father as opposed to some other weird thing I gotta figure out, right? And so, like, talking extremely generic, but just like working like acts of love. It's just like, well, yeah, that's my father's character, so that's what his spirit's going to do because I have it in me. How do I act that out? Or, you know, just like, well, you know, again, that's very generic, but I think it is still different to say, like, oh, the spirit's in me. Now, whose spirit is that, or what is that spirit? It's like a very different, I don't know, it's just a different paradigm shift. I think that's a lot of this stuff is it's not discovering something new, per se. It's just these, like, tweaks and shifts of, like, oh, that's what this means. Or, like, as we read the word, like, figuring out just, like, oh, they did it this way. And just, like, just these minor adjustments that have major implications, I guess.
I guess on a follow-up to that, I feel like our thinking can become all or nothing with the spirit. Like, oh, I was speaking, like, I was really speaking in the spirit in that, and I wasn't this other time. And I just wonder if it's just our acknowledgement. Well, maybe two things going on. So here's maybe the question, but I'm honing down a little bit. How much is our acknowledgement of the spirit at work a part of us discerning, calling something like, oh, it was the spirit at work, only because we acknowledge it, or maybe culturally, like, we acknowledge that it is and that isn't? Kind of like we were talking about dreams the other day, and I was like, oh, you know, maybe just like our normal dreams, it really is the spirit speaking to us, but we just say, it was our subconscious. But maybe it's a continuum. Maybe it's not an all or nothing. Maybe it's like, oh, well, that was like 5% the spirit and 5% like my own and 20%. Maybe it doesn't matter then. Maybe it's just, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it's not an all or nothing. Maybe the spirit's always at work at all times. Maybe I inhibit or layer other things on top of it that is, so it's not fully, but maybe the spirit's always at work through everything anyway. And maybe I don't need to get hung up on it was or it wasn't, because maybe there's always a touch of the spirit working through everything that we do. We just hamper in different ways. Mm-hmm. Is that what, I don't know, what do you
think? So I think we can get, I think we can get goofy on both ends of that spectrum, right? So on one end of the spectrum, it's like the spirit is out there and we like call down the spirit and crazy things happen and then we leave church and we're done, right? Like that's one extreme. Like, come spirit, we all fall over and then we leave and that was it, right? Like that's,
yeah.
I think that's one extreme. The other extreme is that we get so thinking about like, well, the spirit's just part of me that we forget that we're actually meant to be in submission to God, right? And that just because I'm doing something doesn't mean the spirit is on board, right? Or like, or we can get a little bit self-centered or even like, for example, I wouldn't tie the presence of the spirit in us with bearing the image of God. Because while I think the spirit is moving to affect and influence everybody in the world, I think that those who have been redeemed by Christ carry the spirit in a unique way. And so I don't think image, like it's not like every human is infused with the Holy Spirit and therefore everything that is good or kind is like, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how to say it well. It's due to the spirit's influence, but it may not be whatever. So, yeah. Does that make sense? Do I have to finish that sentence? I don't know how to finish it.
Best kind.
You following me?
Best kind.
All that to say, I think that the goal would be that we are so transformed by God's spirit within us that we don't have to be prompted by a move of the spirit to do things according to the spirit. Right? And so my actions may be infused with the power of the Spirit because I chose to do them because it's who I am. But the Spirit is like, yes, I'm on board and is present with me and infusing those actions with the power of God in a way that they wouldn't have been if someone else were doing them or whatever. And so I suppose given like the range of our own actions and selflessness, the spirit may be more or less on board and take, you know, infuse what he can be on board with and be like, oh, I don't, oh, too bad about that part. I don't know. But I don't know if I'm really...
Well, I think so. Like, maybe, I'm just wondering, like, what if, is it maybe as our character develops to be more aligned with the spirit, we notice it less?
The impulse of the spirit.
Character has developed to a point of like you're doing these things. Mm-hmm. It's just part of your character now. Mm-hmm. You don't notice that it's like spirit infused because it's actually, and it is, mm-hmm. but you know, like little acts of kindness.
Maybe you notice it more. Because
I'm saying maybe we should, but maybe we don't necessarily, because mm-hmm. maybe we notice when it's something that calls out of normal of your character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Where,
sure,
you know, like just helping out someone, and maybe when you're younger or early on in acknowledging the spirit, it's like, well, I really felt like the spirit prompted mm-hmm. me to help that person. But your character grows where it's just what you do now,
mm-hmm.
and you don't even acknowledge that the spirit is actually completely
mm-hmm.
aligned with that, or you
sure.
know. At work in that,
mm-hmm.
and someone is like really, and it impacts someone. You're like, oh, I didn't leave, but I wasn't even acknowledging that was
mm-hmm.
a spirit infused kind of
mm-hmm.
action. And but
yeah.
it's the things that maybe we're not used to that aren't a part of our character
sure.
yet.
Do you think though that the next step in growth is noticing what
even
God is doing, even in those, so that we can take the step beyond to the things that, like, maybe I do that kind thing, and God wants to like take advantage of that moment to also offer a prophetic word or whatever.
Yeah.
And like noticing God sparking that person in our kind of normal behavior invites the next opportunity.
I think that's where I'm
like
kind of getting
growth.
At. It's like noticing the spirit infused in the mundane things
mm-hmm.
that it's already been worked into our character. So we tend to just not humanize it. What would be the word? Normalize it. It's just like, well, no, that's just you know, like a part of what I do now. But actually acknowledging that it's
mm-hmm.
that it's still like a spiritual act. I don't know exactly
mm-hmm.
what, but not.
Robbie has a thought.
Yeah.
It just I wanted to clarify. It sounds like what you're talking about is like the fruits of the spirit, like things that we just do, and like love, kindness, you know, like all like the list, you know.
Yeah.
And like these things, and we can just kind of like treat them as like, oh, that's my character.
Yeah.
Doing that, but realize that they are fruits of the spirit, and I think that
yeah.
that verbiage actually gives us insight into how what you're talking about actually works. It's a fruit that is caused to manifest in your character. So it is in your character, but it's a fruit that is completely caused, and its root is in
yeah.
in the tree of the Holy Spirit. So it's a fruit that is being produced in you by the Holy Spirit, and it is completely attributed to the Holy
yeah.
Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit in every way.
Is there a benefit to us really acknowledging that, or just...
Absolutely. I mean,
or
it's
is
got,
it just
it's
a
God.
Part of your character, and you just do it, you don't think, like, so that's some
mm-hmm.
kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
yeah.
Yeah. I just thought that would bring clarity.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good insight. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's linked, if you follow back,
mm-hmm.
and it's still connected.
Mm-hmm. It's, though, I think some things, like, you know, so there's the different lists of gifts as well, aside from the fruit. There's also the Romans 12 and the 1 Corinthians 12, and the 1 Corinthians 12 has the, like, holy weird ones, we're calling it. Romans 12 has stuff that is less overtly supernatural, right? Because there are people who have those gifts that aren't Christians, right? They're teaching and administration and stuff. And so I think those things also can be worked into your character, and you can notice what the Spirit is doing or not. And, I think it's an interesting... One of the things that I've been... have really appreciated, one of those just like, this isn't the main point, but it really has stuck with me from Curry Blake's teaching, has been like, so let's say you see somebody who's sick and you have this thought, oh, I should go pray for them. And then you're like, was that the Holy Spirit? Was that me? And you're like trying to discern, and like, he's like, it was a spirit. he's like the first thing that he's like, it's my experience that the first impulse you have is the Holy Spirit. And the next will be yourself or the enemy trying to talk you out of it. Right. And it's so, there's that, like, these moments of, like, well, that guy, I've noticed something, and I'm like, is that just me? Was that my character? Because I'm interested in, like, you know, whatever type of people. It's like, even if it was just me, that maybe that's because the Spirit has worked that in me, and
yeah,
I should notice and see what the Spirit wants to do next, you know? Because maybe there's more than just what I'm doing naturally. So, yeah, I think there... Even if we do something on our own to notice the opportunity for more because it is something that is aligned with the Spirit, is that a way to think about it?
I think so. And maybe also acknowledging that there's flesh and spirit in everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's rare that it's like, oh, that was like that thought or that prophetic word, whatever it is, like was 100%, like we're always mixed in it, and that's okay. That
mm-hmm.
it's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking about that continuum of like percentages of like
mm-hmm.
that's really overly simplified, but like maybe it's acknowledging it's like, well, yeah, there's always going to be some of each in everything,
mm-hmm.
and that's okay.
Or in other words, just because it's you doesn't mean it's not also the Spirit.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
and what might the spirit want to do that is more than just you?
Yeah.
Like, allow the spirit to take you beyond yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Cool thought. I feel like I have this, like, the Monty Python, bring out your dad, with, like, skepticism, like, bring out your doubts, or whatever, like.
You bring out a whole wagon, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
run
do
away,
want to go with
away.
The cart.
Well, I mean, as far as, like, thinking about, is this God, is this me, is this something that he's just grown in me, maybe, I forget where this is, and somebody's study more. I don't know where this is in the Bible, but like, just pray always. There's some command about praying always and always be in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where that is.
Philippians. I think it's Philippians 4.
And I don't know. That's kind of a cool charge. It's like it's intimidating, but it's also kind of a cool charge to be like, okay, like, if I pray continually, I can sort of check my thoughts and be like, was this you, was this me? And have that conversation with God and really maybe understand him more on that level. That was just a thought I had.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
These questions were.
Mm-hmm. Well, then, you know, when in doubt, if it's loving and looks like Jesus, just do it,
yeah.
Right? Like, I think what we've talked about is like, there are really rare cases where maybe God doesn't want you to do something, like go up and pray for somebody or whatever, because for whatever weird, unique reason, that is not the moment, right? But that's rare, because God's default is do good to people right now, all the time, whenever possible, right? So we've been talking about how it's like, go do it. Take a moment to give God the opportunity to stop you, but then go do it. Like, let your default be to do what looks like Jesus with God having the opportunity to stop you if need be. Seems to me that that's a good, like, baseline, right? Just like, yeah. Because it's pretty easy, like, I think we're all awkward enough and, like, hesitant enough that if God wanted to stop us from going up to a stranger and offering to pray for them, like, we'd hear that, right? Like, we're not filtering that out, like, oh no, God, I don't want you to stop me. Like, I think we'd all hear that if God wanted to tell us that. So.
And where in the place, where in that is the room for God asking us to exercise our own discernment, too, of what might be appropriate or inappropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that, what you just said, where is there room for that? Where does that fit?
Mm.
What do you mean by our own discernment?
Well, we've been commanded to gain wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I don't know, it's hard to, like, think of, like, an exact scenario, but I'm just thinking there would be times where we might have a bit of our own check of like, okay, this might be an inappropriate time or environment or place to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Like that has to have room in there too somewhere.
Sure. Would that be based
I'm not
on
hearing it clear, yes or no, yet I think that I need to use some discernment,
mm-hmm.
cultural sensitivity or just
yeah.
common sense, different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think about common sense. I don't think common sense is anywhere in scripture.
Well, but you know what I mean? Like,
here's what I love.
Assessing the situation, being like, oh, maybe this isn't the right context. I should talk to that person afterwards.
Sure,
or,
exactly.
You know,
well, isn't
that
that's just love, right? That's like
yeah.
loving that person. So for me, that's more about, are we actually doing something that looks like Jesus or not? Because Jesus is respectful and
yeah.
he's humble and he's gentle and he's not forceful
yeah.
or manipulative. And so are we, if we see someone and feel called to talk to them or pray for them or whatever, and whatever the context is doesn't allow us to do that in a loving way,
yeah.
then that isn't actually the, you know, what we
yeah.
would do. So I think for me it's more about like, is do what is loving, do what looks like Jesus, and that's usually self-help. I don't know.
But I mean that it's, that's a tricky thing a lot because you got to be loving that person, the people around, the
mm-hmm.
you know, there's that's things are in conflict. That's
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to speak to that again because that's a big thing that like I've thought about a lot, and I think that I've kind of gotten this piece about like I think we do a lot of in our culture a lot of false dichotomizing between certain things. It's like, okay, well, that was totally spirit, that was totally flesh, They're totally separate, just in every way. And so I think to your question, you're very much either or question. I think my answer is yes. You know, like I think that there absolutely, Molly, like what you said, like if it pleases the heart of God, then it is absolutely like the Holy Spirit, you know, like that is in you, that is influencing your heart, you know, all those things. So if it's pleasing to the heart of God, do that. Now, what level of discernment do you use? And I think that it's not what level of discernment you use. I think it's you use discernment.
Yeah.
Once you've gotten that mandate, if you will, from the Holy Spirit, once you get this inkling, like, I should do this. If the Lord gives you a specific way, be faithful to that way. But if he doesn't give you a specific way, then use all the wisdom, all your studying, everything that you have ever known about anything, and like include that in
pressure.
And like
that's exactly what I'm saying. It's just like, because I think that we can become, I mean, the world is filled with spiritual abuse. I mean, that's the reason churches are emptying out, is people saying, well, God told me this, and that's not the only reason, but that there's a lot of spiritual abuse. And it's like, I know that students I've had that, you know, that I felt like, whoa, I have, I don't know if it's from me or God, I feel like I have a word for that student. I don't just say it then. It's like, wait till the end of the day. Hey, can I talk to you about something? You know, and so it's like using that, you know, that's just a simple example. But what could have been quite actually destructive in one context, using discernment, like, can actually be more constructive in another context. And so, and with working with young people, like, that's often the thing. In a group, you would, there's certain things, you know, that can be really harmful, you say, in front of others in a group that should be said alone. Simple example, but yeah, I just think the world is full of so much spiritual abuse. At the same time, people neglecting to follow the Spirit too.
Well, yeah, so that's totally true. I don't think our church is on that end of the spectrum, and I don't think we're in danger
people we interact with, there's a lot of people, it's like they're confused and hurt because of growing up in a very black and white.
Yes. When we're talking about our particular issues, though, I think our community is much, much farther on the end of the spectrum that is afraid to speak up at all, or afraid to step out and move in the power of the Spirit, or be bold, than it is to be respectful of the people they're encountering, right? Like, I think everybody here that I know people here pretty well, and I think there's nobody I know here who would, like, go up to somebody in front of other people and be like, "Thus saith the Lord," right? Like, that's not happening in our community. And so I think our challenge is not to be more timid, right? We don't need to check ourselves more. We check ourselves enough.
Maybe the reason we don't go to that extreme is that we have seen that.
Because we've seen it, exactly, which is why we need to, like, what is the truth?
So you'll find where
the truth is.
Other way is.
Trust the Spirit. Let's do something, you know?
I get that.
Yeah.
Again, to add to that, there's a guy at my church who's kind of more recently, he's been acting as like a mentor in this whole like process of me like coming to grips with the fact that like, okay, spiritual gifts are a thing. Now, how do they work? You know? And so he's telling me the same thing kind of that you're saying. He's like, Robbie, you specifically with the background you've come from, you're not going to overdo it. So just like, I would be cautious to saying this to almost anyone, but for you specifically, just like go for it. He's like, most of the time I'd be cautious, but for you, just go for it. But what he does is he really implements this discernment that we're talking about into the way that he does things. Like, he gets prophetic words, and sometimes he'll manifest those prophetic words by just asking people pointed questions that get the overall prophecy across.
Yeah.
You know, like,
because in one context, actually saying, hey, I really feel like I have a word from God for you. That,
that's really...
Another context may be like, hey, having a conversation about it, because you don't know this person at all.
Totally. So what he'll do, he says, I'm kind of like a spiritual ninja that way. Yeah. He's like, he'll get in there, and he'll like ask pointed questions, like, okay, is it this? Is it that? Like, hey, how do you feel about this thing? Or like a question, like, let's say he was had like a prophetic word about somebody who's struggling with a sin. Like, a pointed question, like, hey, I wonder, like, have you been struggling with this sin recently? I just, you know, and like, then he'll go from there. And at the end of the conversation, he'll be like, thanks, man. I just want to let you know that, like, I really felt the Lord guiding me to, like, come speak to you about all this stuff. And, like, it'll be totally relevant. There's no baggage that's, like, laid on them. And then at the end, it's kind of like the kicker, like, what? That was, like, prophetic or like weird. And so it kind of gets under the radar a little bit. And then, so yeah, discernment. Use discernment in every way.
Yeah.
I just have thought about that a lot. And so I wanted to speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah, that's great.
Anybody got some places they've felt stuck that you want to share?
I think one thing that like reading Acts is like everything was immediate. Mm. And like Jesus was just here, he's coming back, everything's different now. Mm. Like I don't have that immediacy.
Mm.
And I think that then it's kind of like, where's the push? Where's the like, go, 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 go?
Mm.
Like it's just not there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, seen people be Christians for years and years and years, and it's contemplative, and it's an exercise, it's a discipline. It's not immediate action all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Or spiritual immediate action, right? It's like, good deeds, good works, do social work, do ministry. Matters, but it's not like, okay, cool, let's just like pray in tongues together for a while. Now I don't know people who do that. When I lived in Russia, they were all young Christians, and everything was immediate, and everything was fresh. And I don't have that. And so then, I think that's like one reason that hesitation is a place. Because it's like I have an entire life that's not immediately about Jesus, right? Like as much as I want it to be, like to be honest, like, it's just a lot. Like, I don't wake up thinking, like, what can I give away today? Or, like, you know, what can I do that's, like, it's just like, okay, I have to get up because I have to eat and I have to go to work so I can keep paying my rent so I don't get kicked out. And I have to keep paying for the house so I can get to my job to get my money.
No, you can't.
So it's not like, how can I please Jesus today first? Like, it's not that that's not there, but do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same. It's not the same. I don't know how you gain that immediacy. I mean, you probably just have to do something crazy. So you have nothing to, like, fall back on. That's probably the next issue.
I think, were you hearing Mark talk the other thing?
Yeah. I think one of the things he shared that is a helpful reminder is, like, reading other people's stories. Because I know that, like, even just listening to the podcast from Curry was, like, got me going, you know, like you get excited. And like when you read stories about stuff really happening, for me at least, it starts to give it a bit of that immediacy. Does that ever work for you? Or
yeah, like I get excited.
Yeah.
It's not like my mode of living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't live daily expecting Jesus to come back and wanting to prepare things for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to live that way. Yeah.
Can I say something to that? Because I think there's, I mean, multiple things going on, but one thing that I think is a tendency sometimes for us to want a certain energy that we had in our faith that actually needs to be a part of a larger ecosystem of our spiritual life. To illustrate that, I know I read, you know, Richard Rohr talks about, like, the first time he saw the Rocky Mountains when he was, like, in his 20s, and he was, like, driving there from Cincinnati or something, and it was just an overwhelming experience. Compared to 20 years later, he was driving with some other young people, and they were like, oh, the windows are in the mountains as they come up. For him, it was a different experience as he was older. It was like an old friend. It wasn't the same excited energy. And he kind of, it was a bit of a mournful thing. It was like coming into middle life. It was like, oh, I don't have that excited, youthful energy anymore because I've actually experienced a lot of the world. So a lot of things are now second experiences or third, rather than that immediate like excited. So I think that we need to be living. We don't want to be just getting mundane and just not acknowledging the power of God and the reality. So we don't want to say that, but at the same time we need to acknowledge that as we get older, there's that excited youthful energy is a part of a larger ecosystem. It's like a relation, a long-term relationship. And even they talk about the drugs in your brain that happen, of like dopamine in young love. And then there's these other chemicals, I can't remember what they are, but then like old long-term relationship love that's been through hard things has a totally different chemical in your brain that's released that isn't this high peak. It's more of like long-term bonding. And so an old relationship should actually have all three of these going on. Yet people get really bummed out because they don't have just that young puppy love, just like these big hits. So I don't know if that's a way of kind of, like, because I think that some people then just start seeking that experience and wanting to go back, like, oh no, I'm not passionate like I was when I was first met Jesus. But sometimes that can confuse, I think, with, like, oh, it meant these specific things and feeling this certain way. But just practically, we're not meant to feel that way all the time. As we get older, we're meant to experience the world as our experience does change. But there's then the whole side of like, well, sometimes we just get complacent and used to not trusting, and yeah.
But there's also like, you know, you have four kids and you work two jobs and you're really busy, and it's hard to like maintain that relationship. You know what I mean?
With your spouse or with God?
With God.
Okay, just no, given the illustration, I just wanted to, I didn't know if you were contributing to the illustration or, you know.
I mean, like if the maintenance or the long-term relationship chemical or comes out, or whatever you mean is, that kind of is, I don't know, that also requires somebody that's really working on a relationship. Not to say that anybody isn't, but for example, in my life, it's difficult to, because I just get tired. And, you know, it's not like he's any farther away or whatnot. It's just more, life's distracting. So, I don't know, maybe.
I guess,
yeah.
I feel like it's like countering what, said about me, but like that's why when we're reading this act, I was like, how much time did this cover? Because everything was like, it seems so like this happened, then this happened, then this happened, like all these major things. And I think you were like, oh, we covered 10 years. It's like, oh, okay. And then, because like I read the Bible and I'm like, why did not all these things happen? Like, oh, well, there's actually a year and a half between these two verses or something of like him working, like Paul, like maybe working in a shop or something. So then I think of like, if somebody wrote a summary of my life, it would be this happened and this happened and this happened. So I have to try to remind myself when I read the Bible, like that's not such. And then I remember one sermon that I think about from back years ago that Mark was talking about was like life between like the major events, you know? So it's like you go to the gathering and you have this major event, and now you just come back and kind of live your life. And then you have this other major event. And like our character and our relationship got really tested between those major events. And like, yeah, so I've been thinking about that. Like how we live life kind of day to day is more telling about our relationship.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think that like there's a lot to be said about the stuff that nobody sees. And just like you're just up in the morning, like just reading your Bible and talking with God.
I
love
Paul to think breakfast.
Like, oh, okay,
yeah, right.
Cool. And we have some of that. Bring me my parchments and my coat.
Needs, feeding the kids, you know.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know,
just like just living life and just like, yeah, just like loving people through just what I do. You know, just like, yeah, I'm gonna be a good dad. I'm gonna be a husband. I'm gonna, you know, just like do these things. It's like that's just part of it.
But maybe it's infused with the spirit, like we were talking about earlier.
Well,
it's
yeah, right.
Character and
right. And I think that.
About that, right? Like
I think
doing
there
it, like you're doing the power of God.
Two. I think there's a little bit two arguments here, or two different things going on, because I don't want to, on one hand, like negate just like the normal stuff, because I think that's huge. Like what you do between those, you know, mountaintop experiences or whatever is like really important. But I totally get the frustration of like wanting that urgency and like the immediacy of like, no, we like now, like people need Jesus now, like why am I just sitting here? And I think that sometimes that goes together though, is like if we're going to spend time cultivating, which we should spend time cultivating our relationship with Jesus and like doing those disciplines, the lens that we view those things in is still important too. And so like, if I am going to spend time in one praying, well, if I pray for people that I know need Jesus that I'm going to see that day, that puts a different filter on my day of like, okay, I'm on the lookout for them now, right? Or if I'm like asking God each morning, you have to like write it down, like write myself a note, like when I open up my notebook, like, oh yeah, pray that you would, you know, just ask God to give you one person you can share with Jesus. Like what if that was like my filter each day, was like looking out, like I'm like back to ninjas, right? Like I'm like sneaking around, like looking for like, who am I gonna share with, you know, Jesus with? Like that changes how I view my day. And like, I think that sometimes that's the discipline is even like doing it over and over and over again when it feels unnatural until it becomes something that I just do, you know, like, I don't like bringing everything back to healing, but it's just like what I've been studying for a while now. I'm just like, I never used to, like, if someone's like, I have a headache, it's like, oh, bummer. You know, just like, there's just nothing there, you know? But, like, it's been 9 months, 10 months, something like that, of, like, just digging in as much as I can about healing. And now when someone's like, I have a headache, I'm like, let's go. Like, let's do this, you know? And it's just, it's changed, but it's like, it is a long time coming. And I still miss lots of opportunities, too. But so I think that, like, we can cultivate that urgency while we're doing that important stuff.
By spending time on it, like you're saying, you're building that habit. Cultivate the urgency by spending time, somehow committing time.
Yeah, or like
study or...
Yeah, or just like, I think just the more we know the heart of God, the more we have that heart too. And like, sometimes what I need is like, I need to know things. Like, I read my Bible and I just want to know, like, how do these pieces fit together? Or, like, you know, just like facts and dates and just figure it out. You know, sometimes I need to know, like, how do I love my enemies because people are really ticking me off at work, right? And, like whatever. And, like, sometimes it's like, how do I know the urgency of, like, getting out there and spreading your kingdom? And I think, like, we can almost focus different ways, but if, like, that's, like, a thing that we feel is lacking or that disconnect, it's like, well, then let's like make notes to ourselves, even, you know, like set reminders on your phone, like whatever, like to like keep that on the forefront so that is something we're practicing and trying to live out more intentionally. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, you know, like kind of, I was talking about more, I think part of it goes back to what I know I've kind of complained about before is like blurring all the lines between the different parts of my life and not having like, oh, I had my devotional time this morning. That was my 40 minutes or whatever. Now I do all the other stuff. But instead, everything's connected and they're not disconnected. So, like, sure, I have my devotional time in the morning, but that doesn't mean I stop listening. You know, it doesn't mean like, oh, I did it. It means like, oh, I did it and I keep doing it because it's influencing the rest of my day. So I think, like, I guess one of those, and that's like part of it, like, if it's part of my entire life, if it is my entire life, it's going to be immediate. Whereas if it's like, switch gears, try to stop fitting in at work, and, you know, get ready for church. You know, like, I don't want to have those lines in there. I don't know why they're there. Like, I don't know we're building them, but it's, I guess it's hard for me to get rid of them. It's hard to feel like I didn't do anything spiritual today, and then I got to go sing.
I think culturally we've kind of been trained. It's like spirit and flesh are separate.
Yeah.
There's spiritual things and there's non-spiritual things.
Yeah.
It's in our culture, and it's really countercultural to train your mind to actually acknowledge that it's all infused and it's all one. Like I had this revelation the other day. I was listening to this podcast series of this like big thinker. He does it just like. He was doing a series on existential crisis in the world, like all these huge problems we're living together, and what he comes to in this like solution space, which is still really complex, is like, you know, something needs to be developed that, you know, is can't be weaponized, that is so attractive that, you know, other cultures and stuff all take this on because it creates like a way of human becoming that is looking out for each other. All these things. And it's kind of like, all of a sudden hit me, I was like, he's talking about the gospel. Like, right. Oh my gosh. Like, and it totally, I saw Jesus' message and the gospel, like, in a whole new light, and I got really excited. Because I kept it in this very, like, spiritual box, in this, like, mm-hmm. just spiritual conversion box. And so all of a sudden realized, like, no, Jesus came to, like, basically do what he said, like, create something so beautiful that it converts all nations out of its beauty, and it actually solves hunger, all these existential crises, like it actually does everything. But he came at it with no spiritual language, and so it totally blindsided me. But I saw it so fresh that it was just like, oh yeah, this infuses all parts of our lives, our, you know, our thinking, our time at work, what we're doing in our spare time, like all this. This, the kingdom is this big thing that God is trying to bring about, for like, you know, that affects everything in our lives and everyone in the world. But it was kind of, yeah, just blindsided me, because I was like totally engaging academic thinking this whole time, and it was just like this revelation.
So I have like 8 separate points based on this conversation that's happening. Yeah. So first, just try to go in order. Based on your original response, I don't hear Jen saying that she wants the youthful high, right?
No.
That was so long ago.
I know. I don't even keep track. It connects. I'll get there. So what I hear is that we want Jesus to be a driving force in our life, right? And not just a compartment. That we want him to be actually, practically and in a real way, influencing our whole day and our whole life. And like young love, old love, like that's still like a spouse who's been married for forever, the spouse is still a driving influence in their life, right? Even if there isn't puppy love. At the same time, I'm not as much of a Richard Rohr fan as you are. I think, no, I'll argue with you. I appreciate the idea of like things changing, but I also think that Jesus is different from the Rocky Mountains, right? Like Jesus is alive and active and new daily.
I'm
right?
saying that what originally doesn't diminish, more is added.
Yes,
yeah.
But I feel like too often when we hear that, we kind of make space for the initial thing to diminish. We're like, well, it's just evolved, it's changed, but like. I gotta read this. This is in 1 John. This is what we proclaim to you, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and our hands have touched concerning the life. And the life was revealed. Like, he interrupts himself. He's so excited. And the life was revealed, and we have seen and testified and announced to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we announce to you, too, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, interrupts himself again, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John wrote that decades after Jesus was around. This is like one of the last books written, right? Like, this is decades. And he is so excited that he's still interrupting himself, right? So, like, yes, it grows and evolves, but look, there's something living about Jesus is the thing that's living, right? That is, I think, can give a vibrancy to our current life that is that exciting, you know? And I know you're not diminishing that, but I think just without meaning to, we often do. We often just kind of accept that, you know, we've gotten older and things change, we've settled down a little bit, we're not, you know? But I don't want to. I don't want to accept that. I want the deeper stuff, but I really do want to keep that excitement. And I haven't, but I want to. And I think that it helps with the urgency, right? Like, the urgency can exist without it, but I think it helps when we're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I want to think about this all the time because it's so cool. And like, for me, I have thoughts, but I'll let them go. One of the ways that has been important for me to do that, and I think is something that we are being called back to as a church, and I haven't run this by anybody, but we've talked a little bit. I think the time is coming for our community that we need to get back out on the streets. Because there is something about being intentionally out there with a mind toward the gospel that makes it come alive,
is completely different from any other experience. When you are intentionally going out to witness for Christ, and it doesn't have to be in a manipulative, weird way, but it's intentional, and it's about sharing Jesus, things come alive. You start seeing things differently. You start hearing from God in a way. You start to have that dependency, because it's kind of like doing something drastic and like selling all your stuff, and now you're really dependent on God. Like, if you're out there, it's like, if you want to do that well, you're going to be dependent on God, right? Like, some people go out and just hand out tracts. You don't really have to depend on God for that. But if you're going to communicate to people well about Jesus, you have to be listening to him. And there's an immediacy that comes from that, that for me at least, seeps into the rest of my life. And it tends to occupy your mind. And then what you think about starts to drive your life. So I think part of the answer there is that we as a community need to get out and like be sharing the gospel more. And I think there's a kind of vibrancy in life and urgency that comes from that.
Hey, two baby Pat.
Two baby Pat.
Two baby Pat. I think that's really true. In this last week, I feel like I probably got 80% on the "Can I pray for you?" stage of talking to a stranger.
Sweet.
Where I was walking through the Skyway, and there was somebody who was very intentional about his steps, and his head was like down. And I was like, "Hey, buddy, you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, I'm all right. Thanks for asking." I was like, "You look kind of stressed. Is that something I can do?" And he's like, "Thanks for asking. It's just name of the game this week." You know, and he was like, really was stressed out. I was like, all right. You know, and I see him pretty much every day. You know, I think he's in our building, but it's just. So that's kind of where I left it, because I was like, well, I don't think that this is going to stop, because I see him every day, so I can follow up. But
That's cool.
Just that was like, made me start to think, gosh, you know, how can I interact more with these people around me? Like, I prayed for him as I was going up the elevator, just like, I don't know what he's doing, I don't know where he works. Lord, you know what's going on. And it just helped me to like, see, I don't know, I think echoing what you were saying, just actually taking a step to say, are you okay, guys?
5:30. Dan, did you have one more thing to talk about with this conversation, or is it something new?
I'll just say what I was thinking, I guess. But I was just thinking about Brother Lawrence, who I really like.
Thank you, that's one of the things I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. So, and you can expand.
Because
there's a lot to that book. But one of the things that I liked about him was, like reading through the book, it talks about how for him, like set times of prayer were no different than just like living his life. And like he worked in a kitchen, he like pick up a straw for the love of God. Like to him, there wasn't like this is my spiritual time, this is the time when I do my job. But like it was all infused together.
Yeah.
And just when I think you were talking, that's what came to my mind is that book, and it's that really made a paradigm shift in my brain about. Someone recommended that book right after I came to faith, and it really was really beneficial to me, like, to think about it that way, in terms of, like, well, yeah, I'm at work, but I'm not apart from God when I'm at work, like, I'm in communion with God throughout my entire work day, like, in terms of, you know, I don't know, like, asking God for insight into, like, helping me with the students I'm working with, or whatever, like,
yeah.
It's kind of, and that, as we've talked about earlier on as well, it's kind of, there's one song that's, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room, like the realization that God is right here, like, that's why it kind of drives me nuts when there's like worship songs that talk about God if he's far away. No, it's not true. Because like he's right here, you know, like, and he goes through your day and he's right there. So, yeah, that's
it's weird when people talk as if you're not there, like you. You when you're like kind of sleeping and people are talking as if you're sleeping. You know, I'm awake, I can hear everything you're saying. It's really weird.
Yeah, think about that.
And it's weird for God maybe when we talk.
Yeah, like I guess.
Is he having that experience right now?
But is yeah.
Is this weird for you?
But that's yeah, one thing that I've done with friends sometimes is just get them that book, Brother Lawrence, because it's been so huge on huge to me, and I meet weekly with somebody who very much has, like, and I don't set times of prayer good, you know, but like he sees them very different, so it's just
Eliana's really good at practicing the presence of God. She's like, we'll be eating. She'll be like, Jesus sees me eating peas. Then she'll be like, Jesus sees diaper time. like all the time. It's like, you're really, yeah, what the heck? I forgot. How come you remember? Like, you know way more about Jesus right now than I do, I think. Because she's like, oh yeah, he sees that. Well, thanks for the reminder.
I think that kind of taps on, like, when you were saying that, I was thinking, what we don't want to lose is the simplicity of that first love, of that, in that we do, like, we will encounter the complexity of life, and we will have to add maturity and all these other things, but what we don't want to lose is, it's not puppy love, but we don't want to lose is that simplicity. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of things that I don't want to go back to. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, go back to my youthful way of seeing God. No, it was off. It was really off. It was like, like we should be getting a more holistic view and understanding and relationship with God. I don't want to go back to that. Like, it was, but there was some simplicity there and genuineness that I don't want to lose.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think that both need to happen, but we need to not throw one out. And we've probably all done it. I know I have, but I also know people that really practice that kind of, when they're onto the new thing, they despise the old.
Yeah.
And it's kind of gross, and we all do it. I see it myself, but I know someone in particular that does it really aggressively, like just mocks the thing they used to be into. It's like, oh, whoa, like it's
like, is it mom? Is it mom?
Not really, you know. So. I think that we don't want to do that, like, oh, I used to think this, or you know, that kind of way of thinking. Like, celebrate it for the season it was and the good that came from it and the simplicity or whatever was genuine. But we also need to, you know, grow more depth. And I think if we're not growing more depth, like, we're really not following Jesus' command. So
do we have time to ask a question? Okay. And this, whatever, I'll just ask, but I'm just curious to hear what people say, because it goes through my mind, even though I know it's not, like, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yes, all dogs go to heaven.
Dude,
sorry, is that the question?
Well, I was actually asking about cats going to hell, but, you know.
That's true as well.
Yikes!
It
took a turn.
No, but, okay, so we talked about healing, and, like, how God wants everyone to be healed, right? And then it's interesting working with people with developmental disabilities, because sometimes it goes through my mind, well, am I taking advantage of people's, like, disabilities to make a living? Okay. If God wants them healed, and then I'm, like, making a living, making money off them not being healed.
No.
So, I mean, I'm guessing people are going to be like, yeah, that's you're taking advantage of them and you shouldn't. Because then it's like, well, then what? No one should be a doctor, no one should be a nurse taking advantage of. So, but it does go through my head sometimes.
My thought would be, once we figure this all out and we all start healing everybody we meet, just heal those people and then get a different job. Then you hope they won't need you anymore. But for the time being, presuming that you haven't managed to heal them, having someone loving and wonderful like you taking care of them is probably a really good thing.
Well, I think that, like, one of the things that you could say, too, is, like, doctors and nurses and people, you know, helping people with disabilities and all that is, like, that is the very heart of God, is helping them get well and taking care of them and loving the people who need that help, you know? And so it's, like, you can do both. You can care for them wholeheartedly and pray for them to be healed, and there's no shortage of, like, broken people in the world, right? Like, we all have, like, something wrong with us, and God is willing to fix that. So just like you can, you know, pray for your clients and they can get well and you can get more clients, I can have students that, like, need to grow up and figure stuff out, and I can help them mature and like continue to teach them and instruct them in good things and you know the things of the kingdom. But there'll always be more students, right? Like, you know, it's just like, and I think in any of those fields, it's like you can always help and do both at the same time. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean that's how I usually think about it, but sometimes my mind goes the other way.
It's good to have an outside voice reaffirming.
Yeah. And I brought that up as kind of sets times for questions or things where we kind of get stuck.
Yeah.
But also just like somebody else does anything that just comes to mind, even if it's not rational sometimes, but it still makes sense to them sometimes.
Yeah, thanks, Dana.
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff we want to.
Yeah.
Think through.
Well, then I thought of, like, I don't know if I can remember, but from the, well, I forget. If I can think about it.
We can keep talking at dinner.
Yeah.
Lord, thank you that, oh, you are so good, and that you're happy. I hear Eliana over there, she always talks about how you're happy. Thank you that you're happy. Thank you that you're pleased with us, even when we are struggling and still uncertain and we need to grow in our faith. Thank you that ultimately you are bigger than our questions. I pray, God, I pray you would answer our questions and you would help us in our areas of cynicism. I also pray that we would discover your goodness beyond our questions, and that we would be able to trust you in the core things. Lord, help us to just, I don't know, I just feel like I'm not going to compromise on the fact that you are good and that you are always loving and that you are always doing good to others. And I pray you would help us to act like that is true, even if we have questions about how it plays out. Like, help us be so convinced of those core truths that we take the risks that you call us to take and we love in the way you call us to love, even if we don't have all the answers. Thank you for this community where we can talk about real things and share with and trust one another. Thank you for the food. You bless it. Bless our conversation. Pray that we would go away knowing you better and loving you more and being inspired to have your goodness infuse our entire lives. Pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.